What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets powered by FTN. Thanks, as always, for taking the time to hang out. I said they were coming. They're finally here. MLB team previews running through a lot of the big teams in baseball, hitting on a couple of the not so good teams. We got a great team and we got a great guest lined up. FTN's very own Javi Perlezo, Jay Perlezo DFS, to talk about the Slam Diego Padres. Javi, thanks for taking the time to join me today.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me. This is my first time on Mean Streets. It's been long overdue, and I'm excited to be here, Meanie, because this is I listen to the show in the background a lot, and you're on fire with hockey. I'm super pumped for. I wish I wore my Slam Diego shirt. I did buy one last year, but I stuck with the good old Padres polo and the Padres hat. I'm ready to rock and roll. Baseball's my favorite. It's like Christmas come early for me.
Yeah, you're one of the few that can touch all sports, and I love that. I've been selfish on Mean Streets, just doing solo stuff, but now we're going to be, you know, hitting up a lot of the guests to talk about team previews. Going to refrain you from using the word "we" as if you're a part of the Padres. Jokes aside, you follow this team very closely. They're an intriguing team. They've made a lot of moves in the offseason. We'll get to that in a little bit. So, going to run through basically the ins and the outs, who's in, who's out. Talk about fantasy baseball, a little bit of a perspective there. If you're drafting, who or maybe some guys going too early, some busts, some targets in there. Get a sleeper from Javi. We'll touch on some odds, some win totals, and some interesting props too with all the talented players that San Diego has. But if you're just joining and you wanted to be part of the FTN crew this summer for baseball, I mean, it's basically here. Of course, you know, spring training in full effect now. MLB package, still pretty decent deal going on right now. Going to get you everything. Going to have, you know, exclusive live streams, podcasts, articles, cheat sheets, a new MLB FTN optimizer, which is phenomenal. Ooh. It looks fantastic. Yes, it really does. And Javi and I will be with you all baseball season long, premium chat, all the good stuff there. So check out FTNDaily.com for all the goods. Javi, let's get after it. And so the Padres, I mean, 2020 was weird, shortened season, but they were 37-23, second in the NL West, six back of the Dodgers, the second most wins in the NL, and the third most in baseball. They made it to the postseason. Obviously, they took care of the Cards, 2-1 in the NL wildcard series, and then they got swept by the Dodgers. I know that hurt you quite a bit, but they lost to the champs, so you lost to the best, but they made a lot of additions. We'll roll through some of the odds in a little bit, but I will throw out a couple right now. 9-1 to win the World Series using our free prop shop over at ftnbets.com. That's BetMGM 9-1. Plus 425 to win the NL pennant at William Hill Sportsbook. Plus 200 to win the NL West, and their win total at 94.5. So a lot of additions, man. Bringing Yu Darvish, a big trade, 7-player deal involving Zach Davies and 4 prospects, none of which were top 10 inside the organization, which is a plus.
Yeah. Crazy. And
trade for Blake Snell as well. 2018 Cy Young winner. Not bad. Not bad. And they also bring in Joe Musgrove. So you got, I mean, 3 solid pitchers here atop the rotation in Darvish, Snell, and Musgrove. Love Musgrove coming over from Pitt. Then Lamet, then Paddock. And you got Mackenzie Gore inside the organization. This team is absolutely loaded. So let's just talk about the pitching staff first. Like, who are you more excited about getting? Darvish or Snell? And are these guys targets for you in season-long drafts? And I'm sure we'll be talking about them quite often in DFS when they're on the hill.
Yeah, no. So my top target here is Snell over Darvish personally. Snell, yeah, he's had the injuries that have kind of hurt him he basically doesn't really have a full season under his belt because he's always hurt, but the guy's got outstanding stuff. He's got, I believe, 4 pitches. He's working on another 5th pitch or something like that. But the guy is just a straight-up stud. As you mentioned, Cy Young, it seems like he's a candidate every year, too, if he can just stay healthy. Yu Darvish, similar. Like, he was a sneaky guy. Like, no one really talked about Darvish last year. He's had a few inconsistent years. There's been a lot of discussions about regression, which, you know, I can see that, especially at his age. But the guy was one of the best in the NL last year. And the thing to touch on is that Petco Park, where San Diego plays, is a pitcher's park. So these guys are getting an upgrade. Like Blake Snell, yeah, you can say Tropicana, which is, I don't know if you've ever been there, Meanie. Don't go to Tropicana Field, one of the worst
Not on my
ballparks you
bucket
ever.
list.
Yeah, it's one of the worst ballparks in the MLB, probably the worst if we're being honest. But they say sometimes that's a pitcher's park. But I, you know, Petco, it is definitely a pitcher's park. You know, with Darvish going from Wrigley to here as a home. As a home field, like this is an upgrade for both of them. So I like them both. But for me, I like Snell more than I'm more pumped up about if he can stay healthy. That's the key. You can't predict obviously injuries. You know, we saw that injuries plagued the Padres towards the end, which kind of hurt us. I mean, yeah, we beat the Cardinals, but going against the Dodgers, no Clevinger. I mean, that hurt a lot. No
No
Lamet, that
lament.
hurt even more. Yeah, I mean, it was just unfortunate. I'm not saying that we could have beat the Dodgers. I still think the Padres are the second best team in the NL West. But you know, you can argue that they're a top three, top four team in the NL. So it's unfortunate that the Dodgers are in their division. But I'm more pumped for Snell over Darvish personally.
Yeah, and I think you can make the case that they're a top three, four team in all of baseball. This is the team
Yeah.
that I absolutely loved last season. I made an in-season bet on them to win the World Series, even though I didn't think that they would. You know, the Clevinger, acquiring Clevinger, I liked, and then the injury happened, and then Lamet, that injury happened, and then you're right. I mean, they limped into the postseason, so they just had some bad luck heading in. But you know, obviously, a ton of talent up and down the lineup. You're right about Blake Snell as well. I mean, just look at the track record. This guy is he's an absolute stud. He's working the command each year. I mean, when he broke out in 2016, it was 5 walks per 9. Then 2017, 4 walks, then 3.1, and then last year, 3.2. So he's worked on the control over the past couple of years, but he's only had one season. And I know last year, guys, was just shortened season. Pretty good for him to get the 50 innings. Started off a little slow. They were cautious with him all year, really, weren't they? Even in the postseason, unfortunately for
Yeah,
him.
let's not talk. I'm sure. I mean, everyone saw his tweets. Like, he was pissed off, and
Yes.
he had reason to be. You know, that was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
So he's only gone over 130 innings once in his career. 2018 was that Cy Young season, 180. He had 11 K per nine, 3.19 walks per nine, and then 1.89 ERA. The xFIP was a little high, but only still 3.16. But that's the kind of upside that Snell has. Interested to see you say Snell over Darvish, but I mean, we're splitting hairs. I think they're both studs here. You look at
Yeah.
ADP, and I'm using NFBC ADP, and I'm taking it over the past month here where drafts are really starting to cook up over there. Darvish ADP is 17, starting pitcher 5 on average off the board. Snell is ADP 47, average 15th pitcher off the board. Then you have Lamet, ADP 88, 32nd pitcher off the board. You have Chris Paddock, 107, 39th pitcher off the board. And then Joe Musgrove, the other addition here.
Yeah.
It's an underrated addition. I love this guy. Keeps the ball on the ground, sneaky strikeout rate, ADP 124, starting pitcher 47. So, as I mentioned, 5 pitchers from this staff all inside the top 50 at the position. Pretty remarkable. So decent command from Musgrove, career high swinging strike percentage, 14.4. So what do you think? I know they're loading up on pitchers and you're not going to have Clevinger this year. Let's tie in the addition of all of these guys and then also tie in Lamet. Do you think that there was a fear inside the organization with Lamet, you know, not far removed from Tommy John surgery? The elbow injury popped up last year. He's recently thrown 20 to 25 pitches. I saw reports, including some sliders, hit 98 on the gun, all positive signs. But you got to wonder, I know they're in and they're going for it, and they see the Dodgers making all those moves. But you got to wonder, they bring in all this pitching because they're, you know, Darvish and Bell and Snell, whatever. But they bring in Musgrove. Do you think maybe they're just a little bit worried? Are they going to be hesitant to roll out Lamet? You know, 6+ innings here and there this season. Like, I feel like he's a guy out of all of these pitchers that they have that I would stay clear of. And I love Lamet. I think he's got so much upside.
Yeah, so I think we saw it last year. Like Jace Tingler, by the way, I'm a Padres fan, but I am not a fan of Jace Tingler. Like
No, what's your beef with him?
people love him. So here's the thing with Lamet. Like I get you have to tune up pitchers to set them up for the postseason and whatnot, but the Padres already clinched. Why would you put Lamet out there in a tune-up game and throw him 80, 90 pitches, and then he has that elbow issue, and then you throw him out again? Like, He's just a terror. And not only that, he has a tendency to not pull reliever. Like the bullpen for the Padres, the first half of the season was bottom 10, one of the worst. We can talk about this later. Like they upgraded their bullpen, which I love. Like Mark Melancon, like no one really talked about him. I like him. Like we signed him. That was a great move there. We beefed up with I don't know if you can say Keon Kella, I guess you can say.
Yeah, he's shown some flashes. Yeah, he's just been stuck in pit, so.
Some flashes here and there, but I mean, he's kind of a sneaky guy. And then we really didn't upgrade it. Like we had the injuries that happened and hurt Kirby Yates, you know, who really didn't pitch at all year. He went from one of the top closers to not pitching at all. But you know, as the season progressed, our bullpen was getting better. But Jace Tingler just loves to keep relief pitchers to get shelled and then just keep them out there. There's multiple times where they had a 3-run lead. You know, we couldn't find or Kirby Yates was struggling and he just kept them out there. And then we lose the game. It's like, why? Just pull the pitchers. I'm a very conservative. I'm small ball, meaning like if there's a runner on first and second, no outs, bunt that runner, get second and third with one out. Like I'm all about that. I'm all about like if you allow three runners on and you're up four runs, take out that pitcher. Don't keep him in there for with the tying run up. He's obviously struggling. Why would you pitch that guy and him hits a grand slam? So just small things like that. Like, yeah, that he turned this team around, a bunch of youngsters, and brought him out of nowhere and took him to the playoffs. Shortened season and all. This is his first real test, I guess you can say. But yeah, it's just the signs are there. I just think he's a very overrated manager and people were hyped on him. And as a Padres fan, I'll tell you, like I complained about him a lot
last
year.
You did. You did,
yeah. So, and the whole Lamet thing, I just, you can't control it. Like, maybe he was just, it would have happened in the playoffs where he got hurt, but you don't pitch the guy when you're already clinched. You save him for the playoffs, but whatever.
Are you worried
Jace,
about him, though? Like, you make a good point. Absolutely. I didn't like that the way that they treated him last year, too. There was no need of it. They had wrapped it up for quite some time. You're right. Maybe it pops up in the postseason, but anyway, it did pop up. And now, you know, I've seen this before with other pitchers. Like, obviously, all the teams are going to downplay everything. Boston did it with Chris Sale's elbow. The Yankees did it with Severino. I mean, the list goes on. There's lots of pitchers in baseball. The Angels have done it with every pitcher that they've ever had, basically. And, you know, they pop up and they have Tommy John. So, I mean, 26 starts removed from Tommy John. 6-plus innings in half of his outings last year, 6 of 12. Double-digit K in four of them, so we know that the upside is there. I'm encouraged. I like the fact that he was throwing some sliders in, you know, some simulated games. This just happened last weekend. And hitting 98 is very encouraging. But if there's one Padre pitcher here going in the top, like I said, I mean, his ADP is 88, starting pitcher 32. I was completely in on him last year. I loved it. I loved where he was going. He was that next breakout pitcher. But I think – is he a bust? Is that this the one guy maybe on this loaded Padres rotation that you would just avoid?
I mean, the only concern is injury. Like this guy was NL Cy Young material last year. He was up there, man. And he, even with limited innings, like he didn't go past six innings, I think for more than half the year. Again, shortened season, so it wasn't many games, but they were just trying to get him into, you know, swing of things, and I'm fine with it. But, you know, given our crappy bullpen, him going five or six in, it's like, oh, great. Lamet's going to get another blown win here because of the bullpen. But the guy's just got strikeout upside. I mean, look at his K per nine. The guy, every inning, it seemed like he had multiple no hitters going into like the sixth inning last year. And the guy's just low whip, low ERA, high strikeouts. But yeah, that injury risk, that injury risk towards the end of last year where he missed the playoffs because of that, that's very concerning. So I hear you, Meany. I don't think it's a bust, though. I'd say you take a shot. I know it's risky to say, but, I mean, the upside for Lamet is there. Like, if he's healthy, I'd say if there's a bust, unfortunately, it is Paddock. And I don't know how much of a bust it'd be with going Chris Paddock because, again, he struggled mightily last year. His biggest issue is he just can't pitch against left-handed batters. I mean, you look at those splits, and against righties, the guy's a Cy Young candidate. Against lefties, he's Spencer Turnbull, who we saw already in spring training allow a lefty to hit a home run. Right, but that's the way Paddock is. He just allows a ton of hard contact to lefties. Double the average for lefty hitters versus right hitters is double there. He allows a ton of power. It's unfortunate, but I mean, maybe he figures it out this year, but he definitely had a sophomore slump. So I think Paddock is the bust. And again, given his ADP and whatnot, he's going obviously later than these guys, but he's still, like, from what we saw year one versus now, I think that's the guy that we should have some concern with still, unless he turned it around. So
you bring up good points. I think I'm just afraid of Lamet, but it depends on your draft strategy, what you want to do. I think if Lamet is like your first or second pitcher, you're going to have to take some upside guys after. I wouldn't feel great about him being like my one ace. Like, I would need some insurance. And Paddock going a few picks later, ADP 107, so roughly 20 some odd picks later, SP 39. Yeah, Paddock is interesting, and you just nailed all the stats. I mean, I'm looking at them right now against lefties, a 25% line drive rate, righties 13%. The hard hit rate was much higher against lefties. Lefties / 270, 311, 533. The WOBA is 350. That was in 31 innings, 18 bombs allowed to lefties. And that's what's interesting to me with Paddock too, is, you know, looking at him overall and comparing the 2 years, and again, small sample size with last year, but, you know, the ground ball percentage went up, but the fly ball rate went down. The hard hit rate went down, but the bombs went up. Like, all of a sudden he was just giving up bombs, but the ground ball rate went up. 12 starts, never pitched into the seventh inning once. Six plus hits in five outings, two plus home runs in four outings, five or fewer K in seven of his 12 starts. So not going deep into the game and not racking up those strikeouts. You know, the ERA was 4.73, but the xFIP was 3.77. I feel like we could see a bounce back from him, but he does need to figure out lefties, and he needs to go a little bit deeper into ball games. It's weird that they're a little cautious with him and not so much with Lamet.
It is weird. And they were cautious with Lamet in the beginning of the year.
Beginning.
But then as time progressed, they let him pitch more and more. But the main thing was Paddock. Like, he had a short leash with Paddock, but he didn't have a short leash with these relief pitchers that are allowing 3, 4, 5 hits. And, you know, their 5-run lead came down to a 1-run lead. And I just don't understand. That's the thing that was frustrating about Tingler. I don't know what to expect. He's just so inconsistent, meaning, and that's the problem that I had. So I have no idea. I get it. Like, I love the short leash on Paddock because he was struggling so bad. But, I mean, I don't even think he got a start in the postseason last year because he was struggling. But it's just tough to trust him. And unless he figures out, you know, how to pitch the lefties, Paddock's in for a rude awakening, especially in, I mean, the NL West is not what it used to be. Arenado's gone, you know?
Yeah,
I used to have to pitch in Coors, but that's a big loss for the Rockies. They don't really have any lefties that scare me. The Giants, please. Diamondbacks, please. Dodgers, yeah, run away.
All right, let's talk about Darvish before we get into some bats and we got some props here to round things out. So Drew Pomeranz, you mentioned Yates gone. He was awesome a couple of years ago. He's now with the Blue Jays. So Pomeranz probably going to get the bulk of the save opportunities, I would imagine. You know, Fangraphs has him projected for 21 saves, Pagan for 6, Melanson for 5, which you alluded to, a nice addition, a bounce back campaign from him. You know, a few years ago, he was among the leaders for closers. He was awesome. Mm-hmm. And then some injuries, and he went through some stuff. But he certainly bounced back over the past couple of years. And, you know, he could get a couple saves in there as well. Over at NFBC ADP, and this depends on everybody's strategy is different when it comes to relievers. I like to maybe lock down one top 10, and then I'll just, you know, choose a couple a little bit later on throughout my draft. But once the ADP is a wide range of outcomes for Pomeranz. It's 125 to 466. What's your relief pitcher strategy, and is he on your radar?
Yeah, so I'm always a big guy for getting like a dominant closer early and then waiting and then getting multiple. I'm a big closer guy. I love closers, and I get it. Like, in the past few years, that's not been the strategy, but it's still a successful strategy for me. I don't like to get setup man. Like, everybody loves to get a setup man very early in drafts, and I don't understand that strategy. I get it. Like, maybe they're competing to be the closer in there, but don't waste an early pick on that. You wait till the end of your draft to get these setup guys or the guys that are competing, you know, even getting a Mariners closer, which, you know, hasn't really worked paying out the last few years, but getting them like towards the end of your draft could be sneaky value. You know, there's going to be save opportunities for every team this year, especially in a full season. So with Pomeranz, it's interesting because we don't know what Tingler is going to do. I think Pomeranz does get the does get the closer role here. So I like him. They're going to get a ton of opportunities. The Padres love to win close games, so he's going to get a ton of chances. And I like what I saw last year. He's a ground ball pitcher, very consistent. I think that ADP is fair, but I wouldn't say he's one of the elite closers. Again, his K per nine and his strikeouts aren't as high as these other guys, like, the haters of the world. Jansen, he's kind of washed up. Chapman, et cetera, et cetera. But for me, it's just, I think it's right where it should be. But again, I'm also biased because I'm a big closer guy. I believe in the stat, especially if you have a dominant one. It lowers your ERA, it lowers your WHIP. You get sa- like if you're doing Roto, lowers your ERA, lowers your WHIP. You get your save points up there. You're not going to get wins, but you can get a good chunk of Ks too. Especially if they pitch three, four times in the week. So yeah, I'm biased. I'm pro closer.
It's a strategy that I like. I mean, I don't, like I said, I like to get one top 10. You could usually find one or two if you're aggressive on, the waiver wire throughout the year. But if you're playing in a high stakes league, you need to, and in a roto league, you need to have saves. So you're just not going to be able to compete. So you need to have a couple there. So I certainly get the strategy. In the great baseball invitational that's still going on in the draft, I was able to lock down. I was picked at the 14 spot and I went Bauer and then Darvish. And then I just forgot about pitching for a little bit. And, I've grabbed three closers. So I feel like my ratios will be pretty solid there. I'm going to rack up some Ks. That's the one reason I lean Darvish over Snell. Again, there's a bit of a difference between the two in terms of ADP, but I have no problem where Darvish is going. Double-digit strikeout rate is probably where we're going to get K per nine. And the walks, like the command is, it's amazing. He's got so much control, since he returned from the Tommy John, 1.66 walks per nine. I don't think it'll be sub two, but I definitely think it'll be sub three. And that's my splitting hairs between the two. Darvish maybe a little bit more durable and Snell. Maybe the command isn't there as much, but there were some other additions in San Diego as well. I mean, this lineup is absolutely loaded. We've gone 20 minutes and we haven't even talked about Fernando Tatis Jr. I mean, my goodness, but let's save him. Let's talk about Ha Sung Kim, the KBO superstar. This guy put up video game like numbers. I mean, he signed a 3-year, $25 million deal, 30 bombs in the KBO last year, 19 plus in six straight seasons, 100 plus RBI and runs over his last 2 years. It's each of his last two seasons. Added to that, 56 stolen bases, hit 300 in both years as well. Fangraphs has him projected for 11 homers, 100 combined runs and RBIs, 10 stolen bases, hitting 260. I know. He's going to have some adjustments. I don't know if he's going to be playing every day. I really like Cronenworth. Obviously, Tatis is locked in there at short. But, he hasn't – it's going to take some time for sure. I don't want to take too much into spring. Last I saw, 2-for-13, had a walk, 4K, hit into a couple, double plays, whatever. But I watched some footage of him before we got on and in the weeks prior – looks like patient at the plate, doesn't strike out a ton, low walk rate, and obviously the pop. Like, he fits into the Slam Diego nickname for this team. What are your expectations? What do you think? He's a guy ADP 200. I mean, you're not spending a lot for him. There may be some growing pains, but the power is certainly going to be on display, I think.
Yeah, I mean, this guy, like I was telling you off screen, is this guy when KBO was the main sport that we were playing. I roster this guy all the time on the Kim Woon Heroes. this guy was a stud. Like, he's batting third or shortstop, and it just seemed like every game he hit a home run. Again, though, KBO cannot be compared to the MLB. Like, the pitching, the hitting, the ballparks, it's all totally different. It's a different ball game, and we've seen that before where multiple guys come from Korea or Japan, and they just struggle. I'm hoping this guy turns into the next Ichiro. I don't know if he will. He's got more pop than Ichiro, obviously.
He does,
but
yes.
The projections say that he's going to be our starting second baseman. Unfortunately, Jake Cronenworth will be our backup. For some reason, for some godforsaken reason, they do not want to have NLDH this year. I don't know what is wrong with the MLB. Nobody wants to see a pitcher back. All right.
No one.
It's just ridiculous. Like, Cronenworth would be a lock in our hitting. Even Kim, might be DHing for us, but unfortunately he's going to be playing second base. Tatis is locked up at shortstop. I am a little concerned with, the strikeouts. He is a high strikeout guy, especially in the KBO as well. So he could be a little flustered in the beginning, but Cronenworth is waiting in the wings there to just take over if he does struggle. They've been talking about Kim being an option in the outfield too, but again, we're pretty locked up there too. Pham, Grisham, Will Myers. Hopefully we finally trade Will Myers. We've been trying for about 17 years, it feels like, to trade him,
He's
but
been traded everywhere, that guy. No, but he
yeah,
had a nice,
no,
solid season
he had a
last year. One of the
great
few.
year.
I mean, they all mash lefties, right? But he was one of them that had a great year against lefties.
Yeah, no, I mean they had a great this is a great year for the Padres in general. So I mean I think that this is a prime spot for Kim to thrive, especially in this lineup. He's gonna get opportunities here. Not sure where he's gonna bat in the lineup, you know. I think it'll be towards the front of the order, but you know, we have Tatis, you have Pham, you have Machado there, Grisham. Grisham usually was, you know, batting ninth towards the end of the year, especially against lefties because he can't hit lefties. But Kim's gonna bring pop to that bat. Again, it's doesn't help that he's in a pitcher's ballpark, but I cannot wait to see Kim playing Coors Field. Again, the concerns are there, you know, coming from Korea, weaker competition, but the expectation is very high because he was one of the dominant players there.
So would you maybe pass on Cronenworth and maybe take a shot on Kim, or just like mix and match both? Like, if you
Yeah,
had
I
a
would.
choice between one of the two, who would you pick?
Yeah, it would be Cronenworth. I mean, sorry, it'd be Kim because
It'd be
he
Kim.
right now it's projecting that he's going to start.
Right.
Cronenworth, he didn't start every day. He was kind of like that utility guy where he basically played everywhere, first, second. I think he played some third outfield. Like Cronenworth can play anywhere, and I think he's gonna be that super utility guy like Jerickson Profar, who we brought back this year. So I mean, there if Kim struggles, the chance is there. But I would not even draft Kim personally. Unfortunately, it hurts. It pains me to say that because it's you know it's a Padre guy. I want to draft this whole lineup. This whole lineup is great. Like you can draft. I don't see anybody on here that you cannot draft. Like Will Myers had a bounce back year. Grisham might be the odd man out there. Maybe even Austin Nola at catcher. I think yeah, he struggled with the Padres, but he's a great catcher where it's a very thin position in fantasy. But I would not draft Kim. I would wait till late rounds. I wouldn't go too early on that ADP. So I for me personally, I'd wait past where his average ADP is, but yeah, there's concerns there because I again, he's got to see more major league pitching. He's got to see better, more elite pitchers to see how he really does. So.
Yeah, I agree. It's going to take some time. Yeah, Cronenworth, first, second, and short eligibility. You're right. They can really move him around. And yeah, Fangraphs has all of these guys inside the lineup projected for double-digit steals besides Hosmer, who will give you a few and had a nice bounce-back season last year, I thought. At least early on, his power was on display. And then Austin Nola, who's the catcher, but whatever, he can give you a couple as well. Yeah, Grisham, you mentioned only a couple minutes, we'll get you out of here. But Grisham, I think he does lead off. I know there's talk about lefties. Can he hit them? I know 2 years ago he couldn't. He improved a little bit last year. I think he's a fine, candidate to lead off, even against lefties if they're patient with him. And he's a guy who's going to get you 20 plus homers, right? 20 homers and double digit stolen bases and a boatload of runs if he does indeed lead off on that team. Okay, so let's get your thoughts on if you had first overall pick, you're picking Tatis?
No, I don't think I
No?
am. Listen, man, so I did one NFBC league, and bringing the snake back to me, I had the chance to go Tatis, and I don't remember who I got, but it wasn't Tatis like numbers. It kind of pained me that I didn't draft Tatis last year in the NFBC. It was a painful one because the guy just crushed last year. But no, I don't think I'd
Acuna,
go with Tatis.
Miguel
Yeah, it's probably gonna
Acuna.
be Ronald Acuña is probably gonna be my go-to guy. You know. The guy is so good. He's a top player in here. I would potentially take a bet for him to win MVP this year. So I think I'd go Acuña though. Again, Trout's up there. I know everyone's like, you know, how can you draft Trout first? Blah blah blah. He gets hurt, all that stuff. But it's Mike Trout we're talking about, guys.
Yeah,
So I mean, yeah.
people just make, I get it. Stolen bases are down and he's not stealing as much. People make a lot out of the stolen bases. You want some out of your first pick if you're not going pitcher. But I did a draft where Trout fell to eight and I just thought it was an absolute steal. But here I am wearing the Angels hoodie, so whatever. But a couple things that I wanted to get from you. So their win total is 94 and a half, a little high. But what do you think? I mean, that division is pretty garbage outside of the Dodgers and them. I think I would lean
Yeah.
with you over there. I think they're flirting with 100 wins.
Yeah, I mean, that's a high total, but yeah, I lean the over, but it's gonna be slight over, like 95, 96. I don't think they get to 100 wins, but with that
96,
starting,
97 wins.
with that starting rotation, with that lineup, I still have my concerns with the bullpen a little bit because they didn't upgrade as much. Yeah, we got Melanson, but that's about it, and Kella. So I'm a little concerned with the bullpen still. And depends if Lamet stays healthy. You know, Lamet is a key cog there because again, I don't know if you've seen that Mets rotation. That Mets rotation is stacked. That
Yes.
Dodgers rotation is stacked. But the
Yes.
Padres are also stacked. If Paddock's your number four, number five pitcher, plus we got Mackenzie Gore waiting in the wings, top 10 prospect, a guy. I don't know why we haven't brought the guy. I was hoping we'd bring him up for playoffs last year, just as a sneaky guy that nobody knows about. But
Will we see
if
him this year?
he's
I think we'll see him this year, though.
I hope so, man. I've been waiting for 2 years to see this kid. I mean, he's
Yeah, me
just
too.
dominating in the minor league level. Why wouldn't we bring him up? But again, we traded for all these pitchers. Plus, you got Musgrove, who's a sneaky guy. I think Musgrove is going to be more that long reliever or emergency starter for
I
us more
agree.
than anything else. But yeah, I think this is the year we see Gore. I hope so. I mean, it might have to be because of an injury per se, but yeah. Guy's ready to rock and roll. The guy's a stud. I don't know if you've seen his numbers, but that thing is—it's
Oh
ridiculous, unreal.
yes, I've seen his numbers. Yeah, he's
It's
moved through the
ridiculous.
ranks pretty easy. I think we'll see roughly 70 to 80 innings from him. I think in a keeper dynasty league, he's probably already owned, but you want to take a, if you're drafting, you're doing startups, I think you want to take him. He's going to be inside the rotation. I mean, next year, he's definitely going to be a lock in there, I would imagine. And then this year, I think we'll see him. So I just want to get your thoughts on some of this. So Tatis, 9-1 to win NL MVP, 25-1 to win most hits, 30-1 for the most home runs is really interesting to me. Last year, 17 home runs, tied for fourth in all of baseball, one behind Marcell Ozuna for the NL lead. He had 50 runs, one back of Freddie Freeman. He is plus 1,000 for the most runs in all of baseball. I think that one is interesting. And he is plus 900 for the most stolen bases. We know what he can do there. Manny Machado, 26-1 for MVP, 33-1 for most hits, 33-1 for home runs, 15-1 for RBIs. Machado had 16 bombs, two behind Ozuna. He had 47 RBIs, fifth in baseball, third in the NL, behind, of course, Ozuna and Freeman. We talked about, you know, the other studs in the Mets and the Dodgers. The other stud team, I think, are the Braves. No disrespect for the Cardinals. What do you think about that? What do you think about Tatis, 30-1 to lead the league in home runs? That's not bad.
I put it like a half a unit into that. I think that's a
Yeah.
great bet. Like we saw the power. He's gonna get a ton of chances batting at the top of the order. So I mean, I think this is a the problem is he plays at Petco. It
Yeah.
is a full season now, but don't forget he's gonna be playing at Coors too. Well, he'll hit like 10 home runs in the series. You know,
Yeah.
we saw him and Manny just went crazy last year. But I take that bet, Meany. I'd go a little half a unit. I'd also throw a sneaky half a unit to him lead stolen bases. I think that's a
Yes.
good one too. So,
I think that is a good one too. A pleasure, Javi. I appreciate you joining me today to talk about the Slam Diego Padres. Check out Javi on Twitter, J Perlezo DFS. He covers all the sports for us over at FTN. Literally, all of the sports, like NASCAR,
yeah.
any sports.
Underwater basket weaving. This is the next one I'm going to be running, guys. So.
And you will probably ace it. Okay. Thanks for taking the time to hang out. Again, if you're looking to be part of the MLB package, you can always hit me up at Chris Meany on Twitter, but check out ftndaily.com. Thanks for taking the time to hang out. I'll talk to you soon. Cheers.